Welcome to AutoLine This Week, where the discussion is all about Westerners working in the Chinese automotive industry. Jack Perkowski is an American who quit his job on Wall Street decades ago to come to China to start an automotive parts manufacturing company called Asimco. Today, he's a consultant to the industry. Dr. Daniel Kirchert is a German who's the managing director for Infiniti in China, which, of course, is Nissan's luxury brand. And James Hope is a Canadian who today is the head of design for the Chinese car company Chery. And we'll be back to get their insight of what it's like working in China right after this. Jack, you've seen it all. You're one of the first Americans who came over to do business in the Chinese automotive industry. So you've seen huge change. And what I'm hearing here in China is they're referring to right now as the golden decade. What do they mean by that?
I think they see the balance of this decade, China as a country growing at about 7.5%. And I talked to a number of officials and people in the industry, and they're looking at 10% annual rate of growth in units in the automotive industry. So I think they see from 2013 to 2020 as a period where the industry is going to continue to have very strong growth. And so this is the time to really make hay, as they say.
This year, China's probably going to build something like 20 million vehicles, cars, trucks, and buses. 10% growth in 7 years, you double it. I mean, do you see it growing that big, or how big do you think this market will become?
Oh, I think it can easily be 30 to 40 million vehicles a year. And the reason for that is that, the 20 million vehicles that you referenced are really just the conventional vehicles. There's another 40 million vehicles out there that get produced every year that you would look at and say that they're really not conventional. And what's happening is you're converting these unconventional vehicles into conventional. So I would say that the annual demand for new transportation every year is probably more in the order of 50 to 60 million.
Now, when you say non-conventional vehicles, you mean like these little neighborhood kind of putt-putt cars?
If you travel around China, go outside the major cities, you see it all over. And, these are all fun. They're nothing that you would ever call a truck or a car or anything like that, but they actually serve the purpose of moving people and goods. And, they're very polluting. And so the government is trying to clean up the atmosphere, so they're trying to get people to convert those unconventional vehicles to conventional. And so as that process goes on, I think you're going to see the more conventional auto industry continue to grow.
The other thing that I'm picking up on listening to the Chinese automakers and suppliers is they're calling this the golden decade, as we just mentioned. And there's almost like a concern that in the next decade, things are going to plateau a little bit, and they've got to be ready for that.
Right. I think they recognize that, this high rate of growth has probably covered over a lot of things. The fact that, the Chinese automakers, the local companies are, still there's still a big gap in the technology, their technology and the global assemblers. So they need to close that gap before the industry really slows down because, this has been it's a big market, but it's a very, very competitive market. Every major global automaker is here. I don't think there's a car made in the world that isn't now being made in China. So you have all the major global companies here, and then you have this whole list of local companies. So they know that once that growth slows, it's going to become more difficult. So they want to try to make as much progress as they can during this golden period.
The Chinese are very proud of their indigenous companies, who are not who do not have a joint venture with a foreign automaker.
Right.
But those indigenous companies are losing market share slowly but surely to the bigger ones. What do you think the Chinese government may do in trying to help them grow, or will it?
I don't think the government will really do anything. I think you have to look at the individual companies within the group. For example, company Great Wall, fantastic company, growing at 40% this year. Gaining market share, big in the SUV. market. So, the Great Walls, the Geelys, Chery, BYD, some of those companies are going to do quite well. But you're right. I mean, as a group, there are a lot of companies in there, and probably a lot of those are going to going to die out. And so, you know, so I think the, you know, the government would like to see a consolidation. They're not going to do anything to force it. They'd like to see it. And to the extent that some of these bigger companies, you know, the private ones, you know, progress and so forth, I think they'll support them. But I don't see any real, you know, intervention by the government to try to help.
You mentioned some of the companies, Geely, Great Wall, and the like. They're already exporting vehicles, mainly to developing countries in
right.
Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, and other
right.
places in Asia. Everyone always wants to know, when are they coming to the North American market, the U.S. market in particular, or Europe and the like? Any insight on that?
I don't know. You know, there are a couple bodies of or you know, opinions on that. You know, one individual I was talking to said that he had heard that a number of the suppliers are being asked to supply product to U.S. specifications, and he kind of took that to mean that at least one of the assemblers or a couple of them were thinking of entering the U.S. market. I personally think it's kind of a five years away at a minimum. You know, Chery and Geely all made big noises a couple years ago, and they never really went anywhere. And I think they realize it's a much, much tougher market to break into because of, you know, the brand issue, the distribution, the aftermarket, you know, the after-sales service, the safety, and all these other concerns. So I think they're cautious about going into the U.S. or Europe.
As I mentioned, you've been in this market for so long, way ahead of everybody else. Any insights that you could share that you've picked up on of the Chinese consumer? What really clicks with them?
They like, they like brands. They like, you know, very important brands. They're very brand conscious. You know, buying a car is a way of telling your neighbors and everybody else that you're successful. So, the better the brand, the better they look to everybody. So that's very important. They're also very, very sophisticated consumers. I mean, they really before they purchase a vehicle, they understand everything about that vehicle, what its features are, and so forth. So. I think that, they're a very demanding customer.
So anybody that wants to sell vehicles here, you just can't have a good car. You better have all the latest technology, too, because
absolutely.
It's no longer a market that's going to just take the hand-me-downs from Europe or the United States.
No, that's right. And, in fact, one of the leaders from, I think it was from Nissan, said that they're coming out with 13 new models in the next 2 years. Six of those are designed specifically for the China market. So that's something that's changing as well. You're not just bringing models that were designed for some other market to China. Companies are now designing models that really are keyed into the local taste.
You started a supplier company
right.
here, a Simco. Any insight for suppliers, too, as to what the next thing might be that they should be getting involved in?
Well, I think, the big step up for the local companies are electronics. You know, a lot of the local suppliers are very good at mechanical parts, but they don't really have the electronics capability. So I'm talking more about the smaller suppliers. So if there are companies out there that have, for example, electronics capability, I think they'd find a lot of willing partners here in China. Of course, all the big international tier ones are already here and so forth, but I think there's still a lot of companies in Michigan and the United States that still are not in the China market, and I think there's still it's still early.
That's very interesting to hear. It's not too late to get involved in China.
No, I always tell people that, because after 35 years now of economic reform, the natural, and 20 million vehicles, $9 trillion economy, people say, is it too late? And I always tell them, nope. It's, as Churchill said, it's only the end of the beginning. So I think we got a long way to go.
Jack Kirkowski, thanks for sharing your insights on China. James, if you've got experience in design in North America with the Detroit 3, even with a supplier, you've got experience in Europe, now you're in China. What's the difference between working in the more mature markets and with this booming new one?
It's interesting because in my 20 years of experience at the companies you mentioned, when you go in, everything's established. Everything's running. You know, the engineers, you give them something, they come up with the solutions. The system's kind of in place. Here in China, it's really the what we call the Wild East. And things are very new. I work for Cherry's, 15 years old. And the treadmill's running, but we need to get it up to speed. And that's the big difference. But I will say it's moving quickly.
15 years, that's really what? Maybe three design generations in the automotive industry.
Yeah.
What did they bring you in specifically to do? What are they looking for you to do with their design?
Well, it's very good because I get very good support, I must say. And we're going to ramp up design, and the goal is to build it to the highest level of international standard.
Design has really taken on a greater importance in the last few years. Everyone talks about Kia and how Peter Schreier turned that along all around. Mm-hmm. I got to believe that's the same goal then with Chery.
It's absolutely the same goal. And I think if you look at the TX, we won a very high accolade for that car against a lot of European competitors. We had the Alpha 7, which won the domestic show car of the year in Shanghai. So I think we've got good momentum.
You're on your way. I've heard other designers, Western designers who have come to China say, they're really good at photoshopping stuff and then manipulating that design. Are you finding that, or are you finding true creativity here?
There is creativity, but you got to break the mold. It's interesting. I just had another discussion recently, and we've got a design language. And instead of telling the designers to say, just do the next car, the next sedan, for example, they'll copy an Audi, they'll copy a BMW, they'll copy what they like. You give them a design inspiration, say, based on nature, and it just changes the paradigm. And they start coming with very creative ideas, but you've got to break the mold, you've got to steer them.
A lot of Chinese designs seem to be almost Rococo to me. There's a lot of embellishment and the like. Are you designing for the Chinese consumer, or are you going for a global market design?
Obviously, global market is where you want your product to resonate. But I do also believe there's this elusive C factor, what makes a car Chinese. And we're looking into that, and it's going to take time. It doesn't happen overnight, but we want to try to tap into that. We want to make a Chery. We want to make a Chinese car a Chinese car. But that's something we're really proud of and really represents, this market.
Okay, what makes a Chinese design Chinese?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out.
Give us some insight. What are you focusing on?
We're looking at, and it's a bit rudimentary, we're looking at, for example, if you look at some of the cultural icons like jade, ceramics, bamboo, these are intrinsically Chinese. Now, these are just kind of little, there's a little bit of flavor, and it needs to mature, it needs to grow. I think if you just came out and said, this is the Chinese car, people are going to be like, oh, we're not sure if we're ready for that yet. But if you look again, you use the example of Kia, I think Hyundai may be even a better example. They've developed what I think is a very unique Korean flavor. And that's what we want to try to tap into and try to do for a Chinese market.
Of course, when you mention things like jade, then I think of the interior of the car, not the exterior.
Well, it could also be maybe green lighting somehow in the headlamps, maybe, or the logo, some of the logos light up. I think you need to be very careful with how you apply things. But, and you're right, it's probably more applicable to the interior. But maybe ceramic isn't just a decorative material. It's also a very functional material. You have ceramic brakes. You got ceramic tiles on the shuttle. Is there an application where it can be aesthetic and functional?
Chery, I got to believe, is looking at a wide lineup of cars. How are you going to have a family resemblance? What's going to pull it all together from the littlest to the biggest?
Right. Well, the first thing we did was we redesigned the logo. And we spent a lot of time, and the logo has to represent the new direction, the quality, and we really wanted to make it like a piece of jewelry. So from that starting point, we're getting the brand DNA in place, and it's going to take time because the old products are still there, and we've got to ramp up the new products. But we're definitely on the right track, but we don't want to do the Russian doll approach. We want flexibility. We want to say, yeah, that looks like a Chery, that looks like a Chery, but they're not identical. It's the flavor, and that's really tough.
I'm intrigued by Chinese companies hiring Western designers. So the question is, how does a kid from Kingston, Ontario end up in China?
I went the long way. I went to school in the States. I spent 8 years in Detroit. During that time, I was on assignment. I had an assignment in Germany. I really enjoyed Europe, so I stayed there. And then, you know, bounced around Germany a little bit. And then I thought, where's the next step? Where's the pulse of the industry? And clearly it's here. And that was the big draw.
So did you go looking for a job here? Did they come after you, or a bit of both?
I started to just, you know, it's always good. Designers, I believe, it's always good to have change. It's always good to have a fresh environment. So I started to just kind of tap on the windows a little bit. And this opened up. And I thought, wow, what a great opportunity. Go for it.
What about the language issue? And, you know, we talk about design language. Now we're talking about speaking language.
But design language is important because, obviously, I haven't been here that long. I haven't really learned much Chinese. Language is not my forte. But we speak design. And the communication, they say something like 70% is gestural. I know I'm using my hands a lot. But the communication's fine. There's some subtle barriers, but the point gets across, and the guys do, the team does a great job.
And, of course, you work in a visual language, so I'm imagining you can sketch out what you want to say, too.
Yes, exactly. And in my position, just because of what I touched on in the beginning, the industry is quite young, and it's finding its feet. I'm very hands-on, as well as the other guys I brought in.
How do you recruit new talent? How do you go out looking for it, or is that something that you don't get involved in?
Design is quite exclusive, as we know. So I draw on actually mostly my connections, and I ask them if they're interested in the exciting adventure.
Really good. Well, James Hope, thanks so much for explaining what's going on at Cherry Design. Very interesting.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Dr. Kirschert, so far Infinity has mainly been a brand in the American market. You're getting it going in China right now. Yes. How's the reception been here in China?
Yeah, I think indeed our history in China is still very short and in line with our strategy to move our global headquarters to Hong Kong and to truly become a global brand. China is extremely important for us. It's a core strategic market in the next years really to make Infinity a truly global brand, and we entered the market a few years ago. We have seen quite some good improvement and raising, but we're still a young brand, so we need to build up the brand awareness. We need to really let the customers understand our brand positioning, our very emotional brand positioning, and actually we have a very strong strategy built up for China. We will start local production, and this will be our fourth production site globally after Japan, the US, and we just announced the production in the UK. And this will be a major milestone for us. So we will bring our brand new Q50, an especially tailor-made long wheelbase version for the Chinese market, into local production next year, as well as the QX50. Again, we will adapt the product for the Chinese market with a long wheelbase version, also in the local production, and this will be a major foundation for our next year's expansion. At the same time, as I said, we need to do a lot of brand building and we need to grow our network. China is a very big country. So far we have 60 outlets, and we have to expand in the next years every year around 20 to 30 outlets to really cover all those cities. And we have in the midterm, we have the goal in the Chinese market to reach a sales volume of 100,000 units. So this is a significant growth from the level we are coming, a little bit above 10,000 units last year. And this needs a strong effort, but this is a great chance for us. And I believe our brand is very well suited to young Chinese consumers. So because we go into an emotional direction, we have a very high appeal of our design, which is very well accepted by the young Chinese consumers. And products like Q50, where you see the real cutting-edge new technology we put into the car, like the double touch screen and the very innovative safety technologies. These are features really which Chinese consumers love, yeah? Cutting-edge technologies. And so we're very confident.
Because the brand was primarily a U.S. brand,
yes.
Johan Dennison, the head of Audi globally, has said it's time to de-Americanize the Infiniti brand.
Yeah.
But I imagine that in China, the consumer tastes are fairly close to those in the U.S.,
yeah.
Or do you have to change your model lineup here in China?
No, actually, we offer the full lineup, and the products are doing very well. So we have a very good reception, I would say, on the whole lineup of our products. The one challenge we have is the engine portfolio, but we're actually taking very big steps also to get smaller displacement and better economies, for example, on the Q50. And we'll bring in our hybrid engines. But the product portfolio is very well suited, with the one point that we will, for some of the products, we will consider long wheelbase versions, like we've done for the Q70, the former M, and now, as I mentioned, for the two new products which will come into local production. And this is just due to the Chinese consumers' requirement to use those cars not only for driving themselves, but also use them for sitting in the rear and having a little bit more space and comfort. So I think that's the main difference we have between the U.S. market and the Chinese market. But in terms of design and appeal of the products, we have an equally good perception.
As you know, a year ago there was a backlash against all Japanese brands in the Chinese market over this territorial dispute.
Yes.
It seems to have changed right now. The Japanese brands seem to be going well. As you mentioned, you have to grow your brand awareness in China.
Yeah.
How do you deal with this issue of being a Japanese brand at the same time you have to grow brand awareness?
Yeah, it has been an issue in last year for all Japanese brands in China. I'm very happy to say we are beyond this problem so far. So we are growing by the end of September close to 20% versus last year. And that's a very good news. And we forecast that by the end of the year our growth rate will be even bigger. So I think this is positive. And for Infiniti in China, it's a huge opportunity. We make this decision to put our global headquarters to Hong Kong. Hong Kong is a part of China, and this has a huge significance. Actually, we are the only global brand manufacturer who put their global headquarters into China. And this is a good chance for us. And, you know, of course, we have the Japanese roots, but we are building an Infiniti brand, which is a truly global brand. And part of becoming global is to localize in China and build a brand which is very well suited to Chinese consumer taste.
I've talked to many automakers here who said, okay, the first wave was in the tier one cities, the Shanghais, the Beijings, and the like. Now there's talk of the real growth being in tier two and tier three cities.
Yes.
What role is Infiniti trying to do in those cities?
Yeah, I think this is very, very crucial for us. There's huge growth potential in the smaller cities, and there's 270 cities in China with more than 1 million population. So it's a huge number of cities which we have not covered yet with our network. And we have a unique opportunity to go to those cities at an early point of time and build our retail presence, because we can still shape the consumer perception of our brand. If we do that not as a latecomer, but at the same time as others, or even earlier sometimes, we have this chance, and from the beginning to be very strong. So we put very high attention to this. In the next 2 years, we will mainly focus to go to new cities, tier three, tier four cities, and build a strong presence for our brand.
Formula One racing is a big way of marketing worldwide.
Yeah.
Infiniti is getting very involved with the Red Bull Racing team.
Yes.
How does that work in China? There's the Chinese Grand Prix, of course, and how does that play in with Infiniti growing its global its brand presence?
Yes. So this has been very successful in rising awareness and shaping our brand perception on performance globally, as you said. In China, the awareness of Formula One is not as high as in Europe, but still it's a very unique differentiator for us, being the world working together with the world champion team. And I think working together with Sebastian Vettel, being the performance director, getting very actively involved. This is something we're also utilizing in China, and that's something really, it's an interesting story about our brand, and it will be reflected in our product. So it's something we pay high attention, and it's rising in China. So I believe it's also a good, good thing to do for us.
You've talked about the vehicles and the like. What about service and treating the customer well? How are you building that up here in China?
Yeah, of course, we need to build a very, very good foundation, like for every premium brand. And that's the reason why in the next 2-3 years, not sales volume is our target number one. We want to build a very, very solid foundation. And in terms of network development, I said we expand 20, 30 stores per year. So it's absolute mandatory to pick the best partners in retail who have premium brand capability to run a premium brand, to provide top service. Actually, if you look at our JD Power performance in both aspects, we're already doing better than average. But we want to make this a real differentiator here in the market. So we will put a lot of resources into training, people selection, and we will try also to give the consumers in the Infinity dealerships a differentiated experience, a real premium experience, which is different to what others can offer. But we still have a lot of work to do.
Dr. Kurtzer, thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, we certainly got a lot of different viewpoints of different car companies and people working in the Chinese automotive industry. I hope you enjoyed the discussion, and please tune in again next week for another episode of Autoline This Week.